Blog Talk Radio.
On October 17th, 2012, I noticed last week that my voice sounded muffled. I was using a different long-distance service. I don't know what it sounds like today. I'm using something else. But what I want to talk about to start off with, there's a big scandal in England right now about a guy named Jimmy Savile. I don't even know if it's made the local papers, but he was very famous there. He was the host of Top of the Pops, the number one music show. And it was a very big show. He also ran a children's show, and he was knighted by the Queen. He was Sir Jimmy, and he died a little while ago. And since then, many people have come forward and claimed that they were sexually molested by him, by Sir Jimmy. It's a huge scandal because he worked for the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, and it's been claimed that lots of people knew something was going on with him, but nobody squealed. No one squealed! Now, I find it hard to believe that people would let teenage girls get raped and do nothing about it. Here's what I think happened. They probably heard that he liked 16-year-old girls, but they never saw anything themselves. So that's why they never did anything. Because, you know, if you start snooping around, they know what's going to happen to them. Everybody knows that a whistleblower is a career buster. Whistleblowing, rather. That's what I wanted to say. It's a career buster. If someone comes to a recruiter and you say, "Why'd you leave your last job?" And he says, "I turned my boss into the cops. My boss was fixing the books, so I called the cops on him, and then the company went bust." Are you going to present him to your client? And if you do, does he have a chance of getting hired? Just think about it. Would you hire someone who might turn you in? Imagine you're a recruiting manager and a candidate comes for your own team. She wants to be a recruiter and she tells you that she called the Department of Justice because her last company had an agreement with its competitors not to recruit from each other. Hey, would you feel safe with an employee like that? Let's find out what Dr. Janice Presser thinks. Dr. Janice, she's an expert on teams, and she's my guest today on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! No problem. Hey, real quick shout out. Next Wednesday at 2 o'clock, I am hosting a webinar on split placements. You can find everything that you need to know about the event. Should be seen by literally tens of thousands of recruiters. Check it out, recruitingblogs.com.
Recruitingblogs.com. Yeah, Jerry didn't tell me about that. Jerry didn't tell me about this, you know. I would have let you do your ad. You could have told me, though, in advance. You didn't have to keep
it secret.
Dude,
I didn't know, man. You get so uptight, and I don't have a dollar on me for the ad.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry.
I already signed up, Jerry.
Is Janice Presser there, my guest?
I am here.
Hey, I can hear you, too. Congratulations. Janice Presser. You know, your father, your grandfather must have been in the garment industry. That's my guess.
Actually, he was.
Yeah, I'm right. He came to Ellis Island and they said, "You're a presser! That's your name!" Anyway, she likes to be called Dr. Janice. So everybody can call her Dr. Janice if you like, but I only call people doctor when they're not really a doctor, like Dr. Nick, okay?
Or Dr. Laura.
Dr. Laura. Well, she had a PhD. This is Dr. Janice isn't an MD either. She's a PhD. Right. Hey. What's your PhD? You're a nurse, right? You're a registered nurse.
Oh,
as well.
I was. I'm that old. I've been a lot of things, but I'm a behavioral scientist. That's what the PhD
like
is. And the Dr. Janice is my Twitter
right.
handle.
Hmm? Yeah, I know it's your Twitter handle. At Janice, Dr. Janice. Okay.
But you can call me.
People.
Anything.
Whatever I like, okay? It's my show. And you can call me whatever you like. I don't care.
Okay.
Now, look, what about people who spell Janice with a little heart? They don't use the C-E. It's J-N-I-S with a heart over the I. Is that someone you want to hire, or, you know, you really can't make a judgment based on something like that?
I would not make a judgment based on that. The main question I'd have to ask you for is, what is the job? Because, for instance, if you design greeting cards, you might be spectacular if you like a lot of little hearts. But in my job, that's not going to work very well.
Okay,
so
great.
Now we're
going to sing. Before the, you know what they say on Saturday Night Live? Now's the time when we sing. Okay, so do you know the song, All I Want to Do Is Have Some Fun? It's the easiest song I could find. It's all the same line. Repeat it all. You know that song?
All I want to do.
Do? Okay, we're going to go 1, 2, 3. You say it about 5 times, and then the last line is till the sun comes up over Santa Monica Boulevard. Is anybody else singing besides me and Janice? She's obviously got the guts, which is more than 99.9% of the guests do. Is anybody else going to sing with us?
No.
How sad.
Apparently not.
Come on.
Okay, we'll do it on 3, Janice.
Sing.
Oh, you're going to sing, Maureen?
If I'd known, I would have brought my guitar.
Okay, we're going to count to 3.
I'm here. Do
singing.
I have to sing?
Whoever does sing, you sing if you want to. It's very easy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
All I want to do is have some fun.
I got a feeling I'm not the only one. Yes, I am. All I want to do is have some fun. I got a feeling I am the only one. Yeah, okay, it's enough. Janice, give us your elevator speech, although I understand from your writing that you don't really like elevator speeches, right? You don't believe that
no.
you should be able to deliver a short description of yourself that even your grandmother would understand. You don't believe that, do you?
No. You know what? If your grandmother is your customer, then make sure your grandmother understands. But I have to tell you, my grandmothers would never have been my customers, and they never would have understood
party
it.
Poop, party poop, are you going to do an elevator speech, or do I have to do it for you?
I am known for being the architect of the technology that measures team ability.
Okay, team ability is what?
Team ability is a new technology. It's not personality assessments or anything like that, but it's a new technology that elicits teaming behavior from you, because that's what you want to know about for a job. How is this person going to do their
yeah.
job?
Okay, so it measures your ability to fit into a team. Is that right?
For the particular reason that you want that person on a team. And, you know, a lot of recruiters don't think of themselves as being team players. But when you think about being a team player as being somebody who serves the needs of an organization, then you're going to realize recruiters are critical. They're the ones who go out and
don't
find
the treasure. Don't make a speech, okay? Ask for an elevator speech, not a real speech. Okay, she's got these tests. You take them. Maureen Sherub, she was my guinea pig. She took it. We'll talk about her later. And you write this test. You do this test. Maureen will tell us what it was like. And it tells, you know, the person who's assessing you if you're going to fit into their team or not. Because aside from your skills, what makes or breaks a company is whether the people work well together. That's what Dr. Janice Presser believes, and now we're going to move on. Here's my strategy for this show. Number one, Janice believes that interviews suck. They're the method we're using now, so we're going to go through all the reasons why she thinks the method we're using now is no darn good. Then she's going to explain the basic terms of team ability from her verbosity just a few minutes ago. I think we're going to have a lot of problems with that section, and I'm going to have to cut her short. Then we're going to switch to how recruiters are going to use it. We'll analyze what it did for Maureen. And Maureen was very pleased by the assessment. She thought it nailed her, and I have a feeling it did as well. Okay, is that fair, everybody? Anybody have anything to say at this point? No. Okay.
No.
Dr. Janice Presser, interviews suck. You gave three reasons. You want me to list the reasons and then you'll elaborate on them? Is that a good way for us to move on?
That sounds fabulous.
Okay. Number one, interviews are an assessment tool, but they're not standardized or objective. You want to talk about that?
Well, you know, what it is we use want lists. You know, we've got like the list, person must have this, that, and the other. The thing is, people aren't just slices of things or, you know, or qualities. They're whole. And what you really care about is how are they going to connect with whatever it is that you're trying to get done. Right?
Okay,
and
that's not what you said in the article. In the article, you said people lie. They put their best foot forward and hide everything else, and the interviewer does the exact same thing about the company. Oh, it's great. But they don't tell you what's wrong. So that's the answer to number one. I'll answer it for you. Interviewers
are a blind date.
Yes. Well, is that? Okay, yeah, it's a blind date, right? Okay.
It's a fix-up,
everybody
right.
lies.
Everybody
they
lies.
They lie. And this is what I thought was interesting. You said, so the candidate might seem perfect until her undocumented features begin to show up. There's certain things that are undocumented. Do you mean even if you do a reference check, you call the past employer or manager and say, you know, how was Shirley doing there? Did she get along with everybody? Were there any cases where you had to, you know, deal with a conflict? You think you're not going to turn up good information? I believe you can because I do.
Well, then you've never called me for a reference. Because,
okay, you're unbreakable. You
won't
give
in,
is that
right?
Well,
you know, there are things that I'm not going to necessarily tell you for a number of reasons. One, I might want that person back. Two, I don't want to get sued. And three, I may just be having a really, really good day and figure out what the heck that person needs a job. And if they don't get the job with you, and I don't really care about your company anyway, they might be back bothering me for, you know, to match them up with somebody.
I'm going to tell you something. Most hiring managers or most managers are not very good at handling reference checks. So if you call them up and they give you a bland answer, which they always do, the first time, when you start doing follow-up questions, they have no defenses. You see them. They're going against their own will. They tell you what you want to know because they just don't know how to lie. If you come back and say, well, you mean she never had a conflict with anybody on the team. What about when something like this happened? Well, you know, yeah, they'll come. But I admit, though, unless you know what you're doing, it might be hard to dig that up, and that will remain off the record. That's your point. Is that your point?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody got a comment? Who's right, me or her? Nobody.
We both
said.
Are, of course.
Okay, yeah, of course. Okay, so number two, interviews favor people who are not good team players. That's amazing to me. You want to say why or should I say?
I will. Okay, you can, you know, you can. These are
I'll
keyed.
Say after you fail to say it, okay? Go
okay,
ahead.
Good. There are actually three reasons because there are three things that are virtually impossible to measure except if you can get somebody in a teaming situation. And that one refers to the fact that a lot of times the way the job specs have been written, people can go very broad and say, yes, of course I can do that. And they'll even come up with examples of how they've done it. You know, all of the outplacement people are there and the career counselors are coaching people on how to answer that stuff. So you can get people who will yes you to death. And what they really are interested in is maybe 50% of the job, maybe even 30% of the job. But in terms of what the job really requires, while they might have, you know, the resume stuff for it, they really don't have the heart and, dare I say, the gut to do it.
So they just want to get a job. They don't care. And they'll tell you whatever they have to say to get in. But the good team player is very fussy. She's good. If she says the job is not clearly defined, she'll take you to task for it right in the interviewer, and you're going to hate her guts. Is that right?
That's been known to happen.
Okay. And if the person thinks a good team player says, you know, these expectations are unrealistic, I think they have to be changed if I'm going to do the job properly, you're going to say, what a loser, right? You're not going to say, you know what, she's on the ball. And if the role is not allocated, she'll say, how much resources have you allocated for this? And if it's not enough, she'll start criticizing you. And you don't want someone like that. You don't want a good team player because they've got too much integrity. Is that right?
No. Nope. Think about this. there are different kinds of team players. What you want to do is match what that person is going to do, how that person teams with other people, with what the direct needs of the job the job happens to be.
No, but what I understand from you is that good team players are honest. They want to communicate well. So if you give them, you know, a vagueness in your job description, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
they're going to ask for some kind of specificity because they can't work well with a vague, undefined set of relationships and responsibilities. Is that a general rule or not?
Fuzzy attracts fuzzy. If you talk fuzzy, you're going to attract people who are fuzzy around the edges or as we say, people who are not highly coherent.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people who make the best team players if you give them the kind of work that aligns with who they really are. And, oh, I am dying to talk about Maureen.
You're
going to
get
such a great matchup for what it
you're
is
gonna
that
You're
going
to get to Maureen later, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll bring it earlier if you're so excited about it. But let's just finish the why interviews are no
sure.
good. Sure. So you actually, so you first you said that the they lie to each other Then they favor good people who are not good team players, just yes men. And the
political.
Third thing is, yeah, you say the best candidate, this is a shocker, the best candidate rarely gets picked. And I'm going to say why, and you'll add to it. The best way to get the wrong person is to look for someone who matches a checklist, which is what you said before. You said, this isn't going to tell you how the person will behave when working with other people. And the more people also that you have screening the candidate, if there's a panel or if they have to go through six interviews, you're going to end up with someone that nobody hates rather than somebody the manager himself or herself likes. I thought that was really interesting. The more people who interview the person, the worst, most mediocre person you're going to get. Is that right?
In general, unless you have really, really great interviewers, which you'll never have that many people who are great, it's a knockout process. And, you know, so one person says, oh, I'm knocking out these three. It's just like in paneling a jury. You know, nobody questions it if you knock people out. And then when you're down to the one person, nobody wants to go through this again. And so as long as nobody has strong objections to any particular person, you know, basically what you've gotten is the person who's able to survive an interview process the best. And yet how many great people really don't do very well at interviews anyway? It takes a little time to really see the value in them.
Let me ask a question. Anybody can answer, but I'll ask Jerry. Are you still awake, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm
Jerry,
still awake, man. Yes, I'm still awake.
Okay.
I'm listening. I'm falling asleep, though, man. Snap it up.
Are you? Okay, well, why did you interrupt me, okay? Jerry,
I got a business call happening, too, man. I'm multitasking.
Maybe I shouldn't talk to you.
Any personality test would show that I'm a multitasker.
Yeah. Is there anybody else on the line who's a recruiter?
I am on the line, Mr. Animal.
Okay, Mike Astringer, I'll ask you instead of Jerry. If you know that
your
candidate...
replace me with Jerry, by the way.
Okay, if you mean replace Jerry with you. If you know that your candidate is going to have to go through five interviews, I've had that, can you assume that, you know, the people are not all going to recognize the standout talent? My experience is that if someone's really good, it just slaps you in the face and everybody's going to agree on the same person. What Janice is saying is the exact opposite, that they'll say, oh, I don't like this guy, but I can tolerate him, and the other guy will say it about somebody else. They'll end up with somebody, you know, bland, somebody everybody can tolerate, but, you know, really doesn't excite anybody either. What do you think is the right interpretation there?
I think you're absolutely right.
Hold on a second. Who's talking business on their other phone while they're listening here? Don't do it. What is someone's phone going? What's going on there? Mike, can you answer my question?
I think that there's not usually that disparity when it comes to technical skills, but I think very, very often there's a disconnect when it comes to cultural fit. I think it happens a lot.
So,
absolute agreement. I'm in absolute agreement. When it's a highly technical job, it's easier to recognize somebody who does things that other people don't do, you know, the superstar scientist or things like that.
Hey. Hello?
Just ignore that. Don't worry, Janice.
Okay. But when it's, you know, when it's something that's less defined, that has a lot to do with how you interact with people. For instance, somebody in sales. People are going to go right back to whatever filters they use. And if you want to call those personal prejudices, that's fine also.
This is not a therapy session. I want you to shout a little bit. I think that's going to help your presentation here. If Jerry tells you he's fallen asleep, then, you know, other people, they're going to grade us at the end. There's an after show where they grade you and me. Just don't make it too professional. Don't make it too elaborate. Just get to the point and yell a bit.
Jerry, listen up, honey.
Yeah,
are you awake now? Okay, one, screw personality. Personality doesn't tell you anything. What you want to be able to do is measure how somebody works with other people. So if you're looking for somebody...
Let's go to that question. Oh, no. Let's go to that question. How's a team ability test different from a personality assessment? I don't understand it. You say in one of your articles, sales management always looks for people with the right experience and the right personality when they should be looking for people with the right experience who also team well. There's a big difference between the two. I don't know what the difference is. What's the difference between a personality assessment and a team ability assessment?
First of all, it's a team ability technology because it requires eliciting something and it doesn't work the way that personality tests do. But what you have to do are elicit three things. There are three things. You can call them metrics. You can call them whatever you want. The first thing is, how does someone wish to serve the needs of an organization? All organizations have needs. They're like living things. And there happen to be 10 of them, which are not related in any way to personality or style or any of this other stuff. They have to do with, they're more like what your mission in life is. So, you know, if you look at Maureen, her mission is to go find fabulous people.
It's what you like to do. It's what you like to do. It measures what you like to do, right? Is that right?
No, it's more than that. It's what you are driven to do with other people. In a broad way, a way that you wish to interact with people. For instance, for me, starting a company that has a product, basically inventing the product, that has a very, very long-range implications and is not going to turn over very quickly. You know, there were 35 years of research and then 10 years of actually building the technology that delivered that report that you got the other day, Maureen. That's how long that took. So it takes a different kind of person who's going to do that, who's driven to build for the future in that way, than it does, for instance, for someone who likes to find your people, find treasures, like people, or solve your problems very quickly. Does that make sense?
Who's making that noise? Come on. I'll turn off the last person.
Could be. Okay, so that's the first thing. That's called role with a capital R because it's
nobody's going to understand. You know, you said fuzzy attracts fuzzy. There's nobody fuzzy on the line here. So if you talk, but you're talking fuzzy. Who's doing that noise? Hey! Jeez. It's driving me crazy.
Sounds like a little animal sound.
I don't know what it is. I'll try to get rid of it. We'll try for a few minutes without it. What you're saying, the role is how the person wants to fit into the team. Is that right?
How you want to serve it. Serve its needs.
Yeah, okay. And what's
okay,
the next
this
thing?
Is
coherence, right?
Coherence. How well are you going to do it?
10
coherence
words or less that your booby would understand, okay? That's
okay,
what I want.
You know what? If your bubby was a physicist, she'd understand it in a heartbeat. Mine
nobody
wasn't.
Nobody
here's
a physicist, okay?
Well, listen, then I'm going to explain it to you. Think about what the old game Whisper Down the Lane, you know, and you used by the time the message got down through three people, it was nothing like what it started as. When you pass a message through people who are highly coherent, it's very sharp. Just like coherent sound doesn't have a lot of noise and interference, you've been objecting to the noise and interference on the line. Well, it, you know, we can get through that for a radio show, but when you have to work with somebody who's constantly putting noise and interference into everything you try to do, you know, think about the hiring manager who gives you a job spec and then 2 hours later after you've found the perfect person says, no, that's not really what I meant, and then they change it, you know, they change it. And they put it back on you. That's coherent in contrast to people who are very rigid and it has to be their way all the time, or people who are very diffuse and they're kind of not there and they change their mind all the time. And they can be very political, and if they are, they can move up in your organization and drive you crazy. Not good team players. And then the third thing that you want to look at are teaming characteristics. And there are literally tens of thousands of different ones, and you want to match those to what the culture is within which you need to operate. So, for instance, you know, I can tell you, Maureen
just
was
not... Just let's
take
a vote. How many people? There's a number of people on the line. Yes. Does anybody understand what coherence is?
Slightly.
Mm-hmm. Who said that?
Maureen.
Hi, Lorna.
Who?
Lorna.
Lorna, tell me what it is, okay?
Well, as far as I understand, it's just basically being clear in your personality in what you, I guess, are going to do on the job, what you intend to do.
That's a great one. In your interactions, clean interactions.
Right.
Clean interactions.
Clean means clear.
Clean means clear. No noise,
okay.
No interference, no stuff that distorts what's going on.
Okay, so that's two things, the role of coherence, and now you're talking about
teaming characteristics.
Right?
And
what
those
are they?
They're like the modifiers that make a difference. For instance, I can manage in a scientific organization and a technical organization, but put me into a call center environment where I have to teach people how to tie their shoes and I have to wipe their noses and bake them cupcakes and remember it was their birthday and stuff like that, and I'm not going to fit. Because I'm not like that, you can tell. I'm not a mushy-mushy. It's not going to happen. But people who are like that, people who love to just do that stuff, are going to fit great into that kind of culture, and they're going to hate working in a hard-nosed kind of culture like, maybe something in pretty high up there in finance or certainly in technical kind of stuff where we have our own kind of fun, but it's just not that, you know, that kind of chitty-chatty kind of culture. Does that make sense?
I'm lost, but let's go on to the 10 organized. There's 10 types of people, right?
This is too heavy for me, man.
You're getting way into it.
I keep begging Jerry, dumb it down for us.
Dumb it down for me. I'm in Indiana.
Let's talk about the real world. Let's talk about somebody that you all know, right? Y'all know Maureen, don't you?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So here's the deal. She is amazing. Because there are two roles she does extremely well, and she actually even does a third one. That makes her really good for having her own business, for being a consultant. And my guess would be that if she ever worked for somebody, that they probably were not at her level of being able to do this stuff. And, you know, if they were very political, they'd probably blame stuff on her or whatever. Eventually, they'd annoy her enough, and she would just move on. Because Maureen is a great explorer, and explorers often don't even see themselves as being team players because they're out there someplace so much of the time. They could be road trippers, but they also could be people who do a lot of research on the Internet. You know, you don't have to go outside anymore.
So Maureen is a sourcer. Maureen is a phone sourcer. So she doesn't like to see candidates through the whole recruiting process. What she likes to do is go out and find people. You said she's an explorer. She finds people, passes them on to somebody who's going to process them, and closes the books on that person. That's what she likes. She doesn't like to have to put up with all the BS like those hiring managers who have a moving target for a job description. She cannot tolerate that. Is that what you're saying?
In other words, Animal, Maureen likes to do the easy
first 20% of the job?
You're going to drive crazy.
Cut that out. That is not easy. Finding treasures is, you know, it's really easy to say, oh, that's not very important if that's not what we do. But that is so freaking disrespectful. So you owe Maureen an apology right now.
I owe Maureen a lot more than that, Doctor.
A lot more than that, I bet. Now, the
Jerry,
reason
you're
why
so
she's
freaking disrespectful.
Hey, sorry.
You know, I am disrespectful, and frankly, I've earned the right to be.
Well, you know, if you don't want to play, and that probably, you know, would be at home, too, as well as in the office or whatever, then that's just okay. The reason why she's so great is she actually belongs to a tiny subset of people who are highly coherent. So she's got the ability to focus on this so incredibly well that she is amazingly valuable. Now, no team is going to get her permanently because there probably isn't one on earth who would merit her permanently, but that's okay. That works for her because she can have a series of clients and take care of all of their stuff.
How do you know that no team is going to get her permanently? First of all, she's never worked for anybody in her life, as far as I know, okay? So you're right about that. But
yeah.
Isn't that just somebody who's a loner who doesn't really
no.
get along with other people
she,
that well?
No, nothing to do with it. The way she interacts with people best is she services the bigger needs by going out and finding incredible value for them, jewels for them, and bringing them back. This
now, how
also
do you know
has,
that? How did you find that out?
Because she's not only is she an explorer, but she also does the role of conductor. They're the fixers. People see her as their quick fix answer. I need 10, whatever it is that you go and find. She finds them. Her secret, she's got a secret ace in the hole, and that is that she also fills the role of curator, meaning she's got the keys to the library of knowledge about whatever it is that she's finding. Whatever kind of people she's going after, she's got the ancient secret to how do you do this. Now, if you approached her with a lot of respect for that knowledge, and you asked her to just let you have a peek inside there, and, you know, you'd need to come across with some cash, I bet, because that's going to ultimately show her the, you know, respect in a very concrete way.
Just give
She'll
us a
share
peek,
with you.
Maureen.
I mean, I've never met
Maureen.
I've never met Maureen, but
sure.
I can tell you on the basis of this, if I needed somebody to do this for me, this would be the person who would be top of my list. But she doesn't look like somebody that you would think would be, I don't know, running a recruiting department in a huge organization. She's not pushy. She's not somebody who is going to want to work for somebody else and have to be their little organizer of everything, because that does not make her happy. This is what makes her happy. So she gets to serve the larger purpose. There's a real big vision here of people doing a good job.
I'm going to compliment you. Maureen not only does her own job, for some reason she likes to write about how it's done and teach it to people. That's a curator, right?
And also, interesting, conductors make great trainers. They're absolutely the best trainers because they want you to master some sort of art, some sort of craft.
You describe a conductor as a problem solver. That's not a trainer.
Trainers help you solve your problem of not knowing how to do something. They will patiently sit with you. I have none of this in my makeup, and I admire it to no end. I couldn't even teach my kids how to tie their shoes well. It requires an enormous amount of patience and the desire to make sure that the person is doing it right with a capital R. And that's a real... That's
okay, what
a real,
about the person I talked to in the introduction, the whistleblower? Is that a watchdog?
Whistleblowers can be watchdogs very often or vision formers. Vision formers are kind of the ethics people, the compliance people. They want you to do it right, but in more of a more of an abstract kind of way, like correct behavior, setting the standards, really the standard setter within an organization. Sometimes that's the head of the organization. It depends on what it is. And then, of course, you have companies.
How can that be the head of an organization, someone who's trying to make things compliant? Someone who creates the rules is a leader. The compliance guy is the guy who cleans up after him, right?
May also be both. Again, it depends on the situation.
Let me ask you something before. Yeah. How's a recruiter going to use this? I want to know. If I have some candidates and I come to you and I say I want to see, I got five people. Who's the best person for the job, or who are the candidates I should consider seriously? Because you're saying I can't tell that from the interviews. How do I deal with you? How can you serve a recruiter?
Right. It's not going to be me. It's going to be the technology. You're going to set them up. They're going to go through their team ability experience, and you're going to look at
online.
The report.
It's an online.
It's an online. Done online.
Maureen,
online.
How long did it take you? Maureen, how long did it take you?
It didn't take that long. I would say 15 minutes, maybe.
Were you sending me letters that it was difficult?
It may
Were
have.
Were you sending me 45 emails
minutes.
That it was difficult
It took
to
45
do?
Minutes? It didn't
it took
seem
about,
like it. It.
For most people, 45 minutes an hour, something like
okay.
that. You'd have to speed read, Maureen, to do it that fast.
It's fun.
I don't think you did it that
it's
fast.
It's a lot of fun.
And it is
yeah,
fun.
I didn't get that from the emails you were sending me, Maureen.
I didn't understand it at first, but then once I read the directions...
Reading the directions.
Yeah, she said, did she read the directions? No.
Right.
Okay.
No, she didn't at first because that's the way she's used to doing it. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have to, you know, RTFM.
This must
and
be a red-letter day for Maureen. Somebody, I haven't heard her
it
compliment
is, it's
in
a
like
red
this
letter
ever,
day.
Right? She's fantastic. Okay.
She is absolutely she's fantastic. But you're going to look at this first. But the first thing you're going to do is say, what is this job? How does this job serve the organization? And from that, you're going to decide really what the ideal role is. Sometimes there may be a second choice. So you're going to look for that. You're absolutely going to want the most coherent person that you can find, and you're going to want to look at their teaming characteristics and understand the very
Hold
same
on a
teaming.
Second. No, let me ask something. So I can't give you the job description. You put it into the machine. I get the person to fill out a multiple choice test. And you do everything for me? Do I have to? I don't have to interpret it myself.
Well, it's not multiple choice. Honey, you get to star in a series of 10 movies. That's how we elicit your teaming behavior. When I said it's not like a personality test, I meant that. I wouldn't have had to spend all these years developing this if I could have used personality tests. I looked at them before.
Do I have to understand all the terminology to read it?
No, you don't have to. You can read on a third grade level, sweetheart, and you can take that level. There are even different reading levels for it. But assuming that you're going to take the executive level, which Maureen did, and that corresponds to U.S. about 10th grade reading level, which most college graduates have at least, or non-graduates, if they got through high school and didn't get pushed through. And
fuck
you're
you.
Going to simply read,
fuck yourself.
Look at a
hey,
picture.
Hey, who's talking there? Who's doing that?
Whatever.
Gee whiz.
We'll just out them, okay? So.
Yeah.
You're going to look at a picture, read a quick description of the plot of the movie, and then choose from 10 characters in the movie, which one, and there are four choices that you have to make. You do it with radio buttons, you go on to the next movie, and Maureen's right, it actually is fun. It was meant to do that. You know, working with other people was meant to be fun. It was meant to help you do more than you could do by yourself. You know, even by herself, even though she works by herself, Maureen doesn't really work by herself. She teams with her customer to make sure she's getting them exactly the right solution.
I want to just know how it's done. How much do I have to pay? What do I have to give you? What do I get back? Do you say
you
hire this person?
We do not charge for the use of the technology. We charge for the report generated. So if you start it and you never finish it for some reason, we don't even, you know, we'll credit you back. A report is $80. They come in two kinds. They come in a self-directed report, which the candidate can get. Maureen, that's what you got. And there is a management-directed report. That's a little bit more good, bad, and ugly, which I got on Maureen, which is why I know that she's amazing. And that's what you go from. What you go from. It's a matter of the same thing that you would do on an interview, but you now have even more information. I'm not saying throw the interview out. I'm saying make an interview that doesn't suck, but find out how someone will also team. And
what you
by
said
the
in
way,
your writing, what you said in your writing, okay,
yeah.
is that just do this before, then this will help you decide who to bring in for the interviews. Is that right?
Right, yeah, rather than accidentally screen people out. How many times does the hiring manager say, I want 3 years' experience, and you know in your gut a good person learned that in, you know, a year or two, but then they won't look at anybody you know great
people. Are hiring managers the stupidest people in the world, really? Are they?
No. Stupid people
okay,
are
I think
the
they,
stupidest
I think
people
they
in the
are,
world.
But let's, before we go on, now that we're telling you how to do it, give us your we didn't ask for your website or anything before. Give us all that contact information so it's here right now, and then I'll go on to some other questions.
It's www.thegabrielinstitute.com. Or easy, if you follow me on Twitter, I'll follow you and let me know, you know, at least send me a hint there that that you heard this. I will be happy to follow you back, and you can get all that. I'll go even better. If you are a recruiter and you would like to try TeamAbility on me, I will give you one, okay? All you have to do is contact me. Just do an at Dr. Janice, you know, and say, please follow me back, and I'll follow you back and get your email. All I need is your name and your email address so that there's a place for the thing to do when it gets registered on the account, and the rest is all automated.
Okay,
once
but
you're
will
done,
they won't
you'll
see the management.
Report.
Yeah, but they won't get the management report, which is really what they want to know, right?
Well, if they call me after, I might share it or not. I generally
okay, they,
do
okay.
not
okay.
for good
well,
reasons.
Well, you know, we've got some people like Al Recruiter. I don't know if she's listening, but she's with the corp. There's some internal people here who could afford the $80 when they need it.
If you can, you can buy it right off the website, not even have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not, or if you are an out-of-work
Why
recruiter.
Why the Gabriel Institute? Did the angel talk to you as well?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay. Now look.
You can also go to teamability.com, and that'll take you to the TeamAbility blog.
Teamability.com. Teamability.com. Dr. Janice on Twitter. TheGabrielInstitute.com, right?
Right.
Those are the three places. And she's offering a freebie to get your own test, just like Maureen. See, Jerry passed up the test. He could have been having his ego bathed.
I was fairly
well.
Busy, animal.
Yeah,
no
big party,
excuses.
Right?
I have to tell you, it's only because I think anybody who makes it through an hour with you, animal, deserves
yeah.
something.
Okay. Look. What you say? Beware of sharks. What does that mean?
Beware of sharks, you know, people who are going to rip into you.
What, like, psychopathic people, candidates, is that what it is? In the comments, that's what people were thinking you were talking about, but I
no.
wasn't clear.
I'm talking about people who chew other people up and spit them out. I don't use any psychological terms. That puts you on very dangerous ground. And by the way, people who have had psychiatric problems, medical problems, or anything like that can make wonderful employees. Don't let diagnoses and things like that put you off. What you want, people who've got other issues can be wonderful to team with.
Okay,
but a shark,
from a role-playing point of view, what's a shark?
Sharks are anybody who just randomly will chew anybody up for anything. Everybody is food. When you have people who are on your, you know, sharks in your talent pool, you know, they're the people who just bloody the water. Think about it. You get one person on a team who's taking credit for what other people do or throwing blame on other people, and what does it do to the good people on the team? They leave. The only reason they might stay is if the economy is that awful that they're not getting calls every other hour from a recruiter who's looking to send them elsewhere. But as soon as the economy starts to improve and, you know, and you're starting to get those searches, which I hope you are, you know, what are you going to do? You're looking around for the best people, somebody who's having a really wretched day every day.
Okay,
don't want to leave.
Okay, you say venture capital research says 60% of the blame for failures, I assume you're talking about startups,
failures and startups.
Yeah, it lies in the people's failure to work too well together. They can have a good idea, they can have good funding, but the team doesn't work well together. You're saying 60% of the failures are blamed on that. I just want to get that out there. I want to ask you a question. Do you follow sports so you can actually talk about teamwork in, you know, common parlance? So on a Monday morning, you could say, you see the game on Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and you saw so-and-so was doing this. That's an example of good teamwork. That's an example of bad teamwork. They didn't assess this person properly when they came on the team. Do you do that? Do you find that's a great way to sell people?
I wrote a blog on it. It turned into an article that had some wide circulation on Terrell Owens. I'm surprised you didn't find that one.
I kind of
predicted the end before the end.
Not very long.
You know, there's somebody who's probably one of the most talented, amazing individuals physically and in terms of raw ability to do the tasks involved in being a football player, just at the amazingly high level. And yet, a big piece of sports, a big piece, I think, of the very large piece, once you get to be physically capable of doing it at a certain level, is that it's in the handoffs. Everything is in the handoffs, no matter what sport it is. One of my investors was an Olympic hurdler, and that's all about the handoff. So you can be strong and you can be able to leap over the bounds, but if you miss the handoff, then your team goes down.
What's a handoff? That's not a realist. What's a handoff?
A handoff
is when you get a
baton from one hand to the other hand, or a football hand. You know, the connection with somebody else to continue the game. I don't care if that's,
okay,
you know,
you
whatever
said
game
coherent
you're playing.
People, you said coherent people are humble. That wasn't your word, but you said
humble,
people.
Humble, no.
Yeah, you said people who are coherent are good judges of their ability and less likely to cover up their shortcomings. They're happy to tell you about the things they do wrong because they want to, just like I said before, they'll tell you in the interview, that job is not well defined. How do I know if I can fit into it? That's what's primarily important to them, not whether their egos can be, you know, protected by pretending they're perfect. They're not into that. Am I right or wrong?
You're pretty close. Fear drives people who are not coherent. Coherent people are not driven by the fears that make people exaggerate their importance.
Not many people are coherent. Most people want to hide their faults. They want to pretend more than they can do.
You may be confessing too much, but there is a
broad...
Don't
do that on me, okay?
Sorry.
Okay, how to make a team bad? Number one.
How do you make a team bad?
Yeah, micromanage. You say people don't want to be herded. Is that right?
Some people actually like a lot of direction. On a startup team, you generally have people who are way too high energy for that, and what they want, autonomy, is the most important thing. How many times do you interview somebody and they don't question you at great length about the compensation as much as they do about the responsibility, about the autonomy, about the scope of responsibility and things like that? That's very much driven by people's role. What's important to them, it has to do with how do you want to serve the organization.
Okay, the other way, there's five things. The other thing is make everyone do things the same way. Now, that sounds like the army. You have to force people. You have to break their will to do it their way. They have to do it your way. Is that wrong?
Well, if your main job is to kill people, I don't think it makes much of a difference. You know?
Okay.
But in the even certainly in the military, and one of the examples of incredible teaming has been the U.S. military in wartime. I'm not sure about the Canadian. I don't know enough about the Canadian military. But what happens is, under an enormous amount of stress, if something happens, people fill in for each other. People need to come together. Otherwise, people do not survive. That's true, by the way, in hospital emergency rooms also. When you have great teaming, people will live where when you have really bad teaming, very often things kind of fall through the cracks. You know, everybody's focused on one end of the person, and they don't notice that their eyes have rolled back and they've turned blue. So, you know, focus. Also, the diversity of roles that to meet the mission of whatever the team is. Certainly in the military, it's very different if you're on Joint Chiefs of Staff versus being, going out into
the
jungle.
Okay, next thing, we're running out of time. Treat people as easily replaceable standardized parts. What do you tell them? I don't need you, I can replace you. What are you talking about there?
Oh, that's a great way to kill a team. You know, when if you are not respecting people for what they as an individual, are bringing to you, what their gift is to the organization, then you're telling them that they're not important. People will seek out a feeling that what they're doing is valuable, and so they may just leave you.
You might say, look, I need an accountant. I don't need you, John Doe. I need an accountant, not you in particular. There's a certain standard set of job functions. That's what I want you to do. You know what? I'm not here to stroke your ego. That's wrong.
It wouldn't be ego stroking, but what you would get there is somebody who is just looking for a job. And those are the people that 2 years later are looking for another job. Turnover may not matter to you. In many organizations, no one cares. I heard about an innovation, no kidding, an innovation department the other day that had an annual turnover of 100% in a large organization. I was floored. How could you do anything? And then I thought, well, there probably isn't anything that they do that's very important and nobody notices. In large organizations, things aren't often noticed. But I can tell you, if I had 100% turnover in any way, shape, or form, that would be a disaster because it has to do with stage of organization, but more what's the mission.
You're losing us. You know what? I got to tell you, you have to think about how you're on the Recruiting Animals show. Okay, now look, let's take a look at your successes. The preferred SANs, you have them listed on your site, and I've got a link to it. A $1.5 billion company, they had a big turnover. You went in and did a role assessment on everybody. Is that right?
They started to use it on their new hires. Their new hire turnover dropped to zero. Now, that might be a nightmare if you're a recruiter, because that means you're not doing very much. But guess what? Their recruiting team recruits like crazy because they're in a position now to grow. So it's
okay, they
the
reduced,
perspective you're
they reduced
at.
Their new hire turnover rate from 30% down to zero.
To zero.
Right?
And it's, yep.
And then
and it stayed there.
Okay.
For 2 years
how
now.
Did their, how did their, but also they fired, it sounds like they fired a lot of people.
No.
Who didn't suit their roles. Is that right?
No,
they
didn't.
The
very, very often what you can do is you can make small adjustments in what you expect people to do on a team. You kind of are reshuffling things a bit.
Okay,
you can
how are the recruiters using your information in that place?
To make better placements. Make a better placement. By matching up what the team configuration looks like and what that team needs in order to complete their mission. There is, you know, the higher level of this is to look
you
at...
You don't explain that in a way us dummies, us non-PhDs. You're not explaining it in a way that's easy for us to understand. The way I would understand it is you take the job, you feed it into a machine, it gives you a checklist of what you're looking for in role capabilities or something.
No.
Then you give the person the test and you match them together. That's what I understand. That's the only way I can conceive of it.
Okay. Because this is different.
Somebody else is talking. Come go ahead. Yes. Anybody got a question? Is that Lorna again?
No, it's Cora.
Cora, go ahead.
You
know what,
do
Cora?
You have to do the same?
Cora, before this woman, Dr. Janice Presser, loves Detroit. Cora lives in Detroit.
Oh,
hey.
Go Tigers. Sweep it. Yeah, we're excited.
Okay, go ahead. Ask your question.
Do we need to, as third-party recruiters, do we need to have everybody on the team take the test so that we can make sure this person's going to match with those people or work with those people?
That would be your best bet.
Or can you have an in-place department and then you're going to do a test that you do the test, but or the evaluation, but you haven't done anybody else.
Well, do you take recruiting to the next level? That's the most important question. If all you're doing is filling seats, then what you want to do is fill them with the best people and hope for the best. But if you're really good, you'll come on the website and sign up and get the free course, which is on webinar, or you can even download it from Thing. Learn some more about it and understand how easy it is to look at everybody on a team, put it on, there's a one-page little chart you can put it on so that you know what you're looking at, and then you know what it is that you want to fill in to make that team even better.
So
it's
everyone
not
has to
rocket science.
So everyone on the team has to do the evaluation.
If you're taking it to the next level. If you're an internal recruiter and you are part of an organization where you have other resources, for instance, you may want to look internally for somebody who would be even happier being on that team than they are doing whatever it is that they're doing, and therefore your retention goes up, which if you're graded on that, that's very useful. That's
so your product is not for third-party recruiters. It's actually for companies because you need to assess the whole team and then assess the people who might be coming in.
No, there's plenty of third-party recruiters actually who do use it and executive search people because they are still responsible for presenting.
Oh, did you hear that one,
Jerry? We're not
good.
What?
No, nothing.
You use it. It's used for the purpose for which you're using it, and that's to get fit. That's why it's not just for recruiters, but people who are team managers use it because they want to get their team together and get them understanding each other. It is great for workforce reorganization. If you want to look at a very high level over a lot of people and you want to get better fit into the teams, and it's used by third-party recruiters because the idea is they want to present somebody to their customer who's going to get external validation of how they're actually going to work on,
Janice,
work.
Let's say you got 5 candidates. You make them all take this test, and you decide yourself, 2 of these guys, they don't seem to have the right role. What do you say to them? How do you knock them out?
Well, how would you say if you knock them out for any other reason? We found a better match. We say that all the time. In the generic, without even saying how we've matched it, we found somebody who's a better fit for the job. You're really lovely. We'll keep your information on file, and thank you for
last question before the show's over. Okay, so you said about selling that you have to believe in what you're selling, but there's 2 kinds of salespeople. One person sells something they believe in, but your company's product is always not going to be the latest. Somebody else might have an advance before you guys catch up. It might not always be the best price. You have to be able to sell even when you don't believe it's the very best thing. So I don't think that characterizes a really good salesperson, person who can – go ahead.
The best salesperson is the one who likes to sell in the manner in which that thing gets sold. So think about the difference between selling nuclear installations – which is about a 3-year sales cycle, versus selling cell phones off a push cart in the mall. We call them both sales, but they're not, because the way that you have to team with your customer is radically different. And so, for instance, the people who sell nuclear installations are almost always going to be highly coherent vision movers, and the people who are selling the cell phones on the mall are really solving a problem, and they'll often be less coherent but still okay. Conductors, for instance, it would be my choice for that kind of sales. So it's not the job title, and it's not not what is necessarily written on the resume. It's what's the reality.
Last night? You're dodging my question. It's just like the way he answered the Libya question. I want to know if you don't believe in your product, a good salesperson can still sell it.
Yeah, if it's a short-term sale. Of course. But if it's a long-term sale, you'll be found out. That's why you can get through a presidential 90-minute debate, but you might not make it through the 4 years.
Okay. Now, do you have any parting words? Because I want to get your contact information there again. Is there something? Is there a little maxim that you have, or something you'd like to leave us with?
You know, if you get people fitting well in their jobs, you make the workplace a better place to work. If you make the workplace a better place to work, you'll make the world a better place to live. I mean, I'm a 60s person, you know. When people are miserable at work because they don't fit with what they're doing, they just don't, and it's not satisfying to them, you know, they go home and they kick the cat or they get in a fight with the person who loves them the most. But when people have had a great time at work, when they've really been on a team that makes them feel like they've really accomplished something, you take that home. And you don't get in, you know, you make love, not war.
Yeah, so I should have sang the song, "What the World Needs Now Is Role Alignment."
It's team ability,
man.
What
the world needs now. So she's at Dr. Janice. It's too late for you to sing. At Dr. Janice, thegabrielinstitute.com, teamability.com. Any others?
Teamability.wordpress.com, trepability.blogspot.com.
Just look up Janice Presser in Google. She's all over the place.
Right.
If you contact her, she'll give you a free shot at the test. Dr. Janice, thank you!
What?
I said, was that a snore?
Man,
yeah.
What's going on?
It was working.
I don't even know where I am right now.
No.
All I know is that about every 6 or 8 weeks I have the opportunity to call into the show. And the last 4 or 5 that I've called into, every, you know, once every 4 or 6 weeks, I've
sucked. It sucked.
Me too.
Who all's on the line? Mike? Hey, Mike, give me your scores then for the guest and then the host.
Look, can I ask you a question before I do that, Jerry?
Yes.
This is my 21st year in recruiting.
Hey, congratulations.
So I can't speak for prior to my recruiting career, but why in the world are people always trying to overcomplicate what we do?
I have no idea. Because it gives them something else they can talk about as a value added service.
Psychology of recruiting. I took the psychology of sport at Berkeley. Now that was interesting, but the psychology of recruiting, no.
You know, most customers don't want us to do any of this, and even if we did, they wouldn't care. So maybe it's more for an internal recruiting group.
Although I can see Heidrick & Struggles and those guys, those firms, selling it as, and we will evaluate your team and the person that we're sending to make sure that they're a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
I can see them selling that, but, you know, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
For corporate consulting work, about once a year, somebody will come to me and ask for some sort of an evaluation, but they're few and far between.
Yeah.
Well, this is Lorna. I want to speak in a little bit. Is that cool?
Is this Lorna?
Yeah, can I feed in a little bit?
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, honestly, I think it's great. I'm a candidate. I'm not really a recruiter or anything like that, but it was great information.
Okay.
I think also as a client, because I frequent different locations, buy and do all kinds of stuff like that, I think it's also important for recruiters to think about, because I really do hate, like, bad customer service, either over the phone or in person. And I hate, like, you know, seeing, like, a negative person have to work with a positive person, you know, because it's like you make the company look like, oh, I don't want to come back to this place, you know?
Yeah.
To evaluate the commentary between the host and the speaker, I would say that on the host part, I thought he livened it up. He had great arguments as well as questions. And then
so for a score from 0 to 100, what would you give Recruiting Animal as a score today?
For the host, I would give probably like 65.
Okay.
And for the guest to say, she would, just because she was like polite and she, you know, try to be professional in the same time, obviously she would have about like 80%, just a little.
Okay. Well, Lorna, you've done a great job as your first-time caller.
Thanks.
Fantastic. I appreciate your call and glad you stayed on to visit with us.
Awesome.
Mike Astringer?
So you want scores. I'm going to say...
I'm just in a hurry, man. I got too much business going on for this kind of...
All right, Animal gets a 75. I think he actually sounded like a professional radio host today, but I took 25 points off for his poor guest choice. And I'm going to give the guest a 65 also. I think she didn't do the greatest job being aware of the audience that she was speaking to and making her presentation appropriate.
Interesting. I drifted in and out of even being engaged. I had a few phone calls that I took during the middle of it. Others, just too much business is going on. I mean, it's just crazy right now. It's just unbelievable.
I had some interviews on my desk. I had to get scheduled, and I scheduled 4 interviews during the
nice
show.
Nice. Cora, hey, what are your scores here?
I have another unrelated question.
What?
I have an unrelated question. Does anybody know the applicant tracking system the government uses?
It's probably something based on mumps.
On mumps?
Written in Ada and Pascal would be my guess.
Yeah, I know nothing.
Mumps.
I love that Kathy's here. She's become much more attractive since she has a boyfriend.
I've become more attractive since I've had a boyfriend?
Yep.
Everything boils down to attraction and sex for you.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
It's an East Coast thing.
Geez, Mike, you know you're going to make Amy feel bad. You're after another woman now.
No. Mike's my friend. We're friends.
Hey, Cora.
Amy,
Mike is after all women.
Oh.
The word another didn't quite
cover
all women, yeah. He's an alpha male. It's hard to satisfy that man. Beefcake, all that. Cora, what are your scores here?
Well, first I gotta say, you know, great for the Tigers, sweeping the Yankees so far.
I hate the Yankees. I hate the Yankees.
Me too, and I don't care if Jeter got hurt or not. He wasn't doing anything before he got hurt, so it's not that big a deal that he's not there. Although it's sad that he did get hurt. We'd like to see him.
Who cares? I don't care.
Anyways, I don't see this relating to what I do. I think that it's something that someone would sell trying to do, I don't know, a consulting gig inside a company.
Yeah.
And say, okay, well, I did the team dynamics, and, hey, you need a new person, you know, or something.
Yeah.
I can't see me using this. That's not to say she didn't know her stuff, was able to answer, although she sounded like she had a PhD, which, you know, I must have answered 25 emails, set up stuff, you know. I couldn't even keep interested. And might be the subject matter. It just didn't seem to correspond to what I do. But she, you know, I guess she said it well. I'm not sure, but I guess she did. So I give her a 70. I give her a 70. Who chooses Animal's guess? Animal? He gets a zero then. No, I'm just kidding. Potentially, this could have been a good show. She was a little too doctor-sounding. It couldn't, I don't know, couldn't get it to get me to understand exactly how it could help me. It sounds like it's an in-house thing. But so 70 for her. Animo, I give him an 80.
Mm.
I think he ran a good show. He ran a good show. So, you know, and
yeah.
he wasn't afraid to stop.
It wasn't lively enough. I was disinterested the whole time.
Yeah, it was not interesting. I did so much other work, which was really nice. Thanks.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm thinking since I can't take over the after show, maybe Animal will let me be his booker and I can get him better guests.
You know, I'm thinking you can take over the Animal show.
Or the after show.
After show.
Because you're going to be, now that Jerry's doing all the webinars, Jerry, I signed up. I'm going to be listening to you.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be listening.
They roped me into it, and I figure I'll do my part.
Yeah, I got a little email about it, and I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. I don't do splits normally, so it'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
What a novel topic germane to your audience. Go figure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Imagine that. But,
where's this info, Jerry? Because I'd like to see it.
I just sent Recruiting Blogs an email to say, hey, give me the link, because they've sent out emails to all of the members on Recruiting Blogs that have, I don't know. So they're using this thing where you just open the email and click the link, and so you're registered. Well,
oh, cool.
Well, I can't find a way to send that to anybody, because I think they're for individual use. I don't know. So I'm trying to get the web place where you can just go sign up, but it's next Wednesday at 2:00 Eastern.
I want to go. Okay, well, send it to me if you can.
Cool. Kathy, what are your scores, woman?
You know what? It was just so boring. It was, I think the guest was very nice and knowledgeable, but,
yep.
You know, I don't mean to show any disrespect whatsoever to her, but it was average. You know, I wish they would have broadcast the show from Las Vegas from Recruiting Trends. That would have been fun. But I will say 70 for the guest, and I'm going to give Animal an 85 because I think he did do a nice job with what he had.
All right. Appreciate it. Who else has a score?
This is Maureen. I'm on the line. I'm not going to score the guest because I'm too close to the mark.
You're too high right now.
I'm too high from it.
Maureen, did you think that the when you did the evaluation and got the little report back, was it spot on you?
Yeah, it really was. It surprised me.
Yeah, it was.
The question or the questions that it asked you, for instance, they gave you a script for a movie, and then they asked you to pick the character that you would play in if you were to be in the movie, and there were 10 of them, and, you know, 10 different movies, and you had to pick four. One, what do you think, or which role would fit you best, which role would fit you least, which role would others think fits you best, which role would others think fits you least. And at first it was kind of confusing, but then you get into it, and it was fun, you know, it became fun. As I was thinking, this isn't going to produce anything. I couldn't see it. I didn't understand what was going on while I was taking it. But then when the report came back, I went, wow.
Yeah.
It was
based on what we learned about you today, I'd like to hire you to go to bars.
But what I would do if I were all of you, she offered to let you guys take the test. I would take the test. It's really interesting. It's really interesting.
I
and see
know
how
who
close
I am.
It comes and we can talk about it.
I know all
really
about myself, Maureen.
Okay.
Yeah.
There were very few people to those other tests, like the Briggs.
Yeah, I've done all that stuff.
Yeah,
Maureen, you
yeah.
have to give us a score for the show. I don't care.
I'll give a score of 85. I thought Animal did a good job running it.
Okay. Anybody else with a score?
I want to say one other thing about the test.
No.
No, let me say it.
No.
I think you guys are kind of missing the point in so much that the test is more for you. You know, just embrace it for what it is. Take it and see how it, you know, how it translates to you.
Okay, and then do what?
Yeah,
nothing.
I mean,
it's interesting. It's just an interesting.
Okay. Like I say, I already know all about my stuff. I know what kind of music I like. I know
Jerry,
my favorite cocktail.
Very few people really know about themselves.
I know I'm
nobody's
not a team
more,
player.
What are you really afraid of?
Jerry than Jerry himself.
Look, guys, I'm the best. I already know that.
We know that.
Now, you want me to take a test
I'm
that proves it?
Prove it.
I'm the best.
Cora, you're retired, so it doesn't count.
I'm not retired yet.
You couldn't handle it, so you bailed.
Oh, I did not retire.
You cracked. That's what I hear.
Who wouldn't in this business, right?
Yeah. I'm about ready to. I'm too busy. Too busy. Any other
right,
scores? Nick,
yeah,
are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still with you. My score is, for Animal, I think that he did pretty good. I agree with Mike outside of the selection process for presenting in an appropriate way. So I'm going to go with a 74. And the guest, while
did you say 4?
No, 7-4. 7-4.
74.
Yeah.
A well-thought-out score. I appreciate the time.
And the guest also, you know, presented well, but not necessarily appropriately to the audience. I do think that it was nice for her to toss out the, you know, the comment that anybody who's willing to sit through an hour deserves something, and is willing, to, as far as I can see, to put, to show up and put up that legitimately. So I'll go with a 78 for that as well.
Yeah, I don't think necessarily she should have any particularly low score just because she might have been a little bit of a mismatch for the Animal audience. She knows her stuff well, sounds like it's accurate, does a good job. I'm going to give her an 81, and Animal gets a 60 because he needs to pick some people that are relevant or like rock stars.
He picked you, Jerry. You're a rock star.
Like Gwen Stefani. I'd like to have her on here, and I'd give her 100.
I think that A Stringer should start booking.
Who would you book, Mike?
I don't have an answer to that question off the top of my head, but I would dig deep into the recruiting community and find our thought leaders.
I think they're busy.
I'd get them. They all want something from me.
All right. And I think with that we'll end it because I'm busy. And I know you guys are busy too. So carry on with your week. And
go take
we'll...
the test, you guys. Go take it. You'll have fun with it.
Nope. I'm afraid of my true self, Maureen.
I would rather. Bye.
I like who I am. I've got a big giant mirror in front of my desk.
Yeah.
Huge. Just checking myself out all day?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with that.
They have a word for that. They have a name.
I've got a very small one that says, here's who will promote and develop me.
I've got one with tape on it that says, feel free to watch yourself starve. Get on the phone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you actually look in that mirror all day and you still haven't gotten a haircut.
No, I did get a haircut.
Okay, good.
Just a trim. Not many people can pull this off, Mike. I'm sure you can't.
Oh, God, no.
That's not
all
good,
everybody. Got to go. I got to go check on these Amish people up on my roof.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, we got some bum that Maureen dragged in, you know, and we're going to interview him first for a few minutes, okay? Nate? Nate, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, you're like some hippie that's walking across America.
Gen Y,
hippie. Okay. Hey, Forrest Gump, did you find yourself yet?
I'm getting there.
Dad, what have you found?
Oh, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
Good.
Hey, have you read On the Road by Jack Kerouac, yes or no?
No.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 22.
What's your education?
I went to community college a couple of years.
It's what you take. Did you have a major? You're talking to recruiters here. Wise up.
just general studies.
Oh, boy, a drifter, Maureen. Just hope this guy finds himself on the road. Now, look, you're walking through the countryside in Ohio, somewhere outside Cincinnati, and you go and knock on Maureen's door. You don't know her, and some mom, you know, she's a mom, and she feels pity on you and lets you camp on her grass in the rain. Is that true?
That's pretty much
Maureen,
right.
Why doesn't Maureen mute her? She's laughing so hard at her own self. Okay,
okay, I'm going to mute myself.
Okay, Nate, we're almost done with you. Do you have anything you want to tell us?
I would just say that people are really nice and don't believe how negative the news is. And that if you get out
yeah,
there,
yeah, well,
travel,
I
got to
tell you
people,
something. When
Let
I
him
was
finish.
Your
Let him finish.
Let
he's
finish.
Walking across the country for crying out loud.
Yeah,
let's hear what he's got to say.
Go, Nate, go.
Well,
don't
I mean,
believe
what,
the
you
bad news.
Yeah, don't believe the bad news. People are good, and they want to help out. And people pretty much all just want the same thing, and that's to be happy. And that's pretty much what I've learned so far.
Spread
wow.
the love.
Wow, hey, man, that's heavy.